I mean, this Wednesday we're talking about the future earth, the future heaven. I mean, it's we're at the end of all that God has shown us through the scripture, from the rapture of the church to the new heaven and the new earth. And so this Wednesday coming is our last Bible study till July. And so we're taking June off because I know people on vacations and all that stuff. And so it has been very interesting. We have learned a lot. The Bible says study. You know, it's an amazing thing. He didn't say just read. Now, that's important. You know, we're to read the Word of God. But the Bible says for us to study the Scriptures. That means to look at things in that Scripture and say, Lord, show me something about this. As the Spirit of God quickens that Scripture, as you read it, you go and you look up things and you find out what that Scripture is meaning and get it into your heart and life. I know last Wednesday, or the Wednesday before, we were looking at a scripture. Somebody said something about a scripture, and we said, oh, and every one of us in there, there were 7, 8 of us, something like that. And we all said, oh, yeah, we know what that is. You know, we know that scripture. And so someone looked it up, and when we got at the Bible study Wednesday, we looked it up, and when you read it in context, it didn't mean what we thought. And, you know, I said, thank you, Lord. That's the Spirit of the Lord helping us to rightly divide the word of truth so that we know it and to know it correctly. Amen. And that's all the time. God's Holy Spirit is always there trying to correct things on what we believe, how we believe it, to get us straight and right. And so we'll pick up back in July. So, amen. Any other? Amen. All righty. Anybody's birthday in June? Huh? Oh, Miss Colette. Oh, my Lord. Miss Colette, how old are you going to be? 77? Seven. Oh, that's God's number, 7. Got out of that 6, get into the 7. Amen. Happy birthday. Anyone else's birthday? When is it? June 13th. Happy birthday. Miss Colette, when is your birthday in June? June the 6th. Happy birthday. Anyone else? Anybody's anniversary in June? Nope, nobody. Okay, that's here. Amen. It's your anniversary? Yeah. That's a shame, y'all. That's a shame. Look, I said nobody. Look, they kind of... How many years? 5? No. How many years? Look, y'all know? Y'all married?
Yeah, they say yeah.
Well, when is your... June 29th. And really, seriously, how many years? Calculate. 24. Y'all going to settle on 24. Oh, y'all going to have a big thing next year, 25. Okay. Well, congratulations on 24 years of marriage. That's great. Amen. And happy anniversary to y'all. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Amen.
You deserve a big old black.
Amen. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Amen. Well, good morning. We want to welcome everyone here today. We want to welcome all people that are watching through Facebook and all that stuff. And, you know, we just pray the Spirit of the Lord would be upon your heart and upon your life this morning. Amen. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. There's nothing like the Word of God, people. Zero. Zero. Well, I guess everybody's figured out summer has arrived. Huh? After yesterday, I have enough of summer. After yesterday, sweating all day. It's so hot, people. But, you know, God says that there would be seasons forever. So whenever you hear somebody saying, well, global warming, all, that's not what the Bible says. And I will put my faith on that word any day before any man. And the scripture says there will be seasons forever. Seasons forever. So there'll be winter, spring, summer, and fall. You know, now sometimes our four seasons kind of mix over here, but that's okay. It's still there. It's still there. So always put your faith in the scriptures, in what God says. Because let me tell you, God has an answer for every problem in this word. God has an answer for everything that affects our lives as human beings. God has an answer for everything as Christians, because we are His children. And so He has an answer. And all we got to do is look through the scriptures and He will answer us. Or, we know this, the Spirit of God still talks to God's people. God is not dead. He's alive and well. God's alive and well in heaven, and Jesus is seated right next to Him, and the Holy Spirit is here upon the earth getting the work of God done before His coming, and then after that also getting the work of God done. So here we know the Spirit of God speaks to His people. You know, as the scripture says, that still small voice sometimes on the inside. Because you have to remember, we've all been saved. We've all accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And the God of the universe now lives inside of us and is ready to lead us and guide us and show us things as we rely upon Him. That's the kind of God we serve. He's alive and well. He's alive and well. And ready to help us in all of our needs and desires. Well, we all know tomorrow is a holiday. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. It's a day set aside to remember those who sacrificed their lives to keep us alive and free in our great country. It's a day to remember. Those that have given their lives on that Memorial Day. You know, I don't know. I know personally I've had my father and my brother serve and my nephew serve in the armed forces. And I'm sure every one of you have family that have served some type in the armed forces. But has anyone in your family that was in service in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, National Guard, have they died during their service at war? Does anybody have that in their family? Yes, sir. Who? Okay. Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. So that's World War II. Okay. So we want to remember that family, you know. And I'm sure as Memorial Day comes, sometimes that's hard, you know. You remember. And, I don't have anybody in my family that has died in the armed forces during a war. But we are to remember those. You know, when you see, you know, someone in uniform in one of the armed forces, you know, thank them. You know, do something special, you know, because, you know, honestly, we don't have a mandatory men and women don't have to sign up for the armed forces. It's a voluntary type thing. And so they volunteer. You know, I know there's, you know, they give them a lot of stuff that we'll pay for this or that. But still, they volunteer and they don't know what will come up and what will happen. They don't know if a war will break out tomorrow or next year and whatever. You know, as we see the day approaching, it says that God says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. So that means a lot of wars. That means a lot's going to be going on. We see the hustle and bustle of North Korea, of what's going on there. And we pray for our President Trump that God would show him what to do. You know, we know we just had he just dropped the mother of all bombs, it says, in Syria, was it? The ISIS, whatever, commanders there, and it killed a bunch of them. You know, God has to do whatever it takes. You know, we have to do whatever it takes to protect our country. That's the number one priority of our president, is to protect the land, the borders, from north of Canada to both seas, both oceans, to the border of Mexico. That is his top priority. So we need to pray continuously every day that God would give him wisdom and surround him with godly men and women that will help him to make the right decisions. So tomorrow, as you are shopping for all the sales on Memorial Day, and there's nothing wrong with that, but just remember, you know, that what it's really about is to remember the lost, the fallen soldiers, men and women that have fought in battle for us to keep our freedoms and for future. But, you know, I was looking up, trying to find out in the different wars how many people have died, men and women, you know, in combat battle. And the American Civil War, they estimate about 750,000 men and women, well, men probably at that time for sure, died. For World War II, 405,000 soldiers died. For World War I, 116,000, and they just kind of ballpark figure. For the Vietnam War, 58,000. For the Korean War, 54,000. For the American Revolutionary War, 25,000. The War of 1812, 15,000. And the American-Mexican War, 13,000. And the Iraq-Afghanistan War, they put it all together, 7,200. So if you know, and that's just major wars that we have fought in, the America has fought in. That's a lot of people, a lot of men, men, some ladies that have died in defending our country in whatever different capacities that they were doing it in. And so you see, that's a lot. But they were doing it for a reason. To defend, so you and I could have freedom today. To keep what our founding fathers wanted us to have from the beginning of time. From George Washington, to give us the liberty and the freedom of having that. You see, one of the comments I read in the Bible was, the comment part says, much Bible, much freedom. Less Bible, less freedom. No Bible, no freedom. It's ironic, huh? You go to these countries that have no biblical knowledge at all. I mean, they serving, you know, other gods besides the King of Kings, and you will see such poverty, such grief. And so where there's much of the Word of God, it's ironic that there's great freedom. And so we as Christians need to herald the Word of God up so that the freedom could reign upon America as it once was, and getting back to that. You know, we know we've come to a place where, you know, the Bible was taken out of our schools and stuff like that. But you see, God is raising up a generation of people that will stand for truth and stand with the Word of God and will do whatever it takes to preach the gospel and not to back off from it. That God is raising up pastors that have a backbone that will stand up for the truth of the gospel. And in the meantime, as God is raising up pastors that will stand up for the truth of the gospel, God is raising up lay people that will stand up for the truth of the gospel and not back down from it. You know, it's such a sad state that we've gotten to where we have, you know, certain religious groups in America that are ordaining gay men and women into the ministry openly. And I look at that and I'm saying, but that isn't that against the Word of God and what the Scripture says? See, how far have we come? So God is bringing us back as we pray and intercede and ask God to move. Let me tell you, we've not lost hope. God can still move. We're wanting a great revival like we've never seen before. Praise God. Praise God. God is looking to His people that will herald the Word of God and will stand up for truth and what God has called them to do. Christianity, we know, is under attack today in every country. I mean, we're seeing on the news many things that are happening in the Middle East with Christians, you know, Coptic Christians, where they're going into the churches and burning churches down, where they're slitting the throat of pastors and preachers, and they're taking Christians and telling them, if you don't bow down and accept certain other religions, that we will cut your heads off. And they do it. And you might say, oh my God, but let me tell you something else. In the Scripture, every time Satan rises up and tries to destroy the church and tries to destroy Christianity, Christianity rises up. That's the Spirit of God. That's when the church grows. Let me tell you, reading articles about the church in China, you know, we often think, oh, China. But let me tell you, there's so many underground Christian churches in China. The church is growing so fast in China that it's outnumbering all other areas upon the earth. The power of God, when it comes down from heaven. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. The first part of it talks about fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. The first part of it. You got it, Andrew? 1 Timothy 6, 12. Okay, thank you. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on the eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We're to fight that good fight of faith. Every attack of the enemy upon the believer is to weaken or destroy our faith. He wants to push our faith from the cross to anything else. We can't allow him to do that. Every attack of the enemy, it says, the scriptures fight a good fight of faith. We're to fight by using the Word of God. You know, we can't fight with swords and, you know, whatever. But we can fight the good fight of faith for our families, our friends, ourselves, our country, our community. We can pray and seek God and ask God to move by using the Word of God and speaking the Word of God. But I tell you what, every attack of the enemy, and let me tell you, the attack of the enemy will come your way. He hates Christians. He hates people that love God. But let me tell you, every attack of the enemy that comes our way, We have to know, and we got to have our faith in our God, that our God is in control. And we know that, and we can establish that through the scriptures with Job. Job, which is what? The oldest book in the Bible. That was the first book written. The oldest one. We know that Slewfoot had to go to God. Somehow he has access. You can read it. He has access to the throne of God. He went and he said, can I do whatever, this or that, to Job? So let me tell you this. He has to go through the throne room and ask God's permission, because God is in control. Because God is our Father. And oh, Satan does not have all the power in the world. Yes, he has some that God gave him from the beginning when he was on the good side. But our God is in control, and not Satan himself. Your God, the God that lives in you. And the Father says, fight a good faith, good fight of faith. And he knows sometimes it will take a little pressure from the outside of the world to make our knees bend to the will of the Father. And he's looking for you and I to do the Father's bidding upon the earth. But in the meantime, Satan has his agenda. And he's trying to destroy the faith that we have in our God, to weaken it. You know, like a... You know, you have a river or something, and you have the man makes a dam to shut it so that it doesn't flow so easily for certain reasons. And every once in a while, they'll open it up to let the water flow, you know. What the devil tries to do, as God puts that dam up, the devil tries to break it. That we don't have faith in Christ. That our faith is not in what Christ did at Calvary's cross. That it is not in him and him alone. And that we turn our eyes from facing the Father, that we turn our eyes a little bit to the left. And if we keep our eyes a little bit to the left, we will go where our eyes are going. And all of a sudden, we'll miss out on the cross of Calvary. We got to stay tuned in to the cross of Calvary. That's the answer, people. That's the answer to victory in our lives. The things that have... that the chains of bondage upon our hearts and lives that Satan has done to us is the cross of Calvary that can break those things and bring liberty and freedom through the cross of Calvary. Jesus paid it all on the cross. Paid it all on the cross. Fighting that good fight of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, with the evidence of things not seen. Hoping for those things. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. You know, tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day of remembrance for all of our soldiers that have passed away from the beginning of our country till today. But also, as Christians, we have many people that have died for the cause of Christianity. You know, many we may not know their names, but some we do through the scriptures. We see in just with some of the disciples, look at Peter. Because of the cause of Christ, people, Peter was beheaded. Wow. I haven't heard of Christians around here now. Maybe some in the East, yes. But around here, none of us have been beheaded. Thank God. But he was beheaded and he was hung upside down for the cause of Christ. We're to remember this man that has gone before us, that stood up for the things of Christ. You think he was beheaded just because they wanted to do it? No, because he stood up for the things of Christ. And for the word of God. Here we see also Andrew, which was a great preacher in the now called Turkey area. He was crucified in Greece. My Lord, crucified. Thomas, who was a preacher in Syria, died when he was pierced through with the spears of four soldiers. People, these are the disciples. These are the 12 guys that God picked. Now, we know one went crazy and sold out for 30 pieces of silver. But this is Thomas, who was pierced through his side by four soldiers. We also see Philip, who was a great preacher in North Africa, was arrested and cruelly put to death. Here we see also Matthew, who was a great preacher in Ethiopia. Some say he was stabbed to death. Bartholomew, who was a great preacher in India of today, a martyr of the gospel. James, who was also a preacher in Syria, stoned and clubbed to death. My God, people. Simon, who was a great preacher in Persia, killed after refusing to sacrifice to the sun god. Also Matthias, who's another preacher in Syria. It's an amazing thing. I've read three of them that were preachers in Syria. Look where Syria is at today. We have great Christian heritage out there, people, where these disciples went out and preached the gospel and didn't back down, people. Didn't back down from the pressures of the world. Didn't back down from the pressures of people. We are to remember Memorial Day what these guys did. Matthias in Syria, he was death by burning. Can you imagine that? And also John, the only one to die a natural death. He was a leader in Ephesus. Here we see most of these guys died a horrific death for the gospel's sake, people. You know how they could do it? Because they had the king inside of them. You know how we can stand up for the truth of the gospel? Because of the king that lives in us, that gives us a boldness to stand for the gospel's sake. My God, for the gospel's sake, not for us, but the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is. To stand up, we need to remember, yes, the soldiers, thank you for the freedom that we have within the body where we live, but also thank you, disciples, and all these other men and women that have died for Christianity's sake, so we could have freedom of the Spirit of God on the inside of us, so we could have freedom of the Scriptures of God to be able to stand up. You know what's amazing? I could go out there on that street corner and just read the Word of God and preach it if I want to. Because of what the soldiers, what they've done. And I know we have some things going on in our country that are trying to stop the gospel. We even have some that are trying to tell preachers what to preach. But look what God did in this last election. People, God is looking for a people that will humble themselves and pray and seek his face. People, we need to humble ourselves, pray, and seek God and say, God, we need a mighty revival upon my heart, upon my life, in our church, in our community, in our state, and in our country. We need a revival that God will come down and touch people's lives and change them. The only thing that will help racism in any country is the power of Almighty God. That's what will solve our economic problems. That's what will solve the problems that we have in our schools, in our society, is the power of the Almighty God, His Holy Spirit, that will come in and heal a heart, heal a life, heal a mind, heal the body. That's the power of our God. And let me tell you, church, don't shun away from it. Stand up for the truth of the gospel. Stand up for Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, that gave his life for us. Stand up for him and saying he's the only answer. Money can't do it. We tried it. Won't happen. We've spent money, 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 and we have zero effects of it. The only answer to man's ills is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of these men gave their lives. We shall never forget. We should not forget. They paved the path. Can you imagine as these men would walk into Syria preaching the gospel. We don't know what God showed him. We don't know if God told him that this will be the end. We don't know. But I tell you what, our God prepares us, prepares his people. Syria and Turkey and all those areas where the gospel was freely preached over 2,000 years ago. And yet they gave their lives, or it was taken from them. But yet they stood up for the truth. We shall never forget the memory of what they've done for us. And there's many, many more in the gospel's sake, in the scriptures. That's just the disciples, basically, some of them. How they died a horrific death, but they died for the gospel's sake. And you might say, well, man, that must have been horrible. Let me tell you something. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was in the fiery furnace, they would not bow to that God, that statue. And old king, the king went forth and they announced it and they blew the horn and all that scenario. And they said, oh, they may not have heard these three. Let's do it again. That's how the devil works. He gives us another chance to make sure we didn't hear right. And they blew it again and everything went off and all these three guys just stood. Are you standing for the gospel? That doesn't mean you go look for it, but you just stand. You say the truth is the gospel. And we know what happened. They got so mad. The king was so mad. He lit it up 7 times hotter, that furnace. He took those three guys and they threw them into that furnace, people. We didn't know what was going to happen. And let me tell you, those three guys didn't know what was going to happen. But let me tell you something. Anytime the devil throws something at us and the Spirit of God allows it to come our way, the Spirit of God will strengthen you on the inside. He will do a mighty work. And he will yet let something come. But let me tell you, it will build your faith. Can you imagine as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in that fiery furnace, tangled with straps around their hands and their feet. All of a sudden, these things come off. And they look up. And the Son of Man is in their midst. Oh my God, people. Let me tell you, he'll let you stand in the midst of the fire. He'll keep you standing. Get it. He'll keep you standing in the midst of the fire that old slew foot is throwing. You'll stand up. And let me tell you, he was in there with them. Can you imagine? They had a hallelujah time on the inside of that furnace. Praise God. Amen, huh? Praise God. As the power of God was in that place and they look in there and the officer says, there's a man in there that looks like the Son of Man. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me tell you, when you stand up for truth and you stand up for what's right, God will come in and help you. God will move on your behalf. God will be there with you. You think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wanted to come out the furnace? I'd rather be in a furnace with God. They could see him. They could touch him. They could feel him. He might have, can you imagine? I don't know this by scripture. So I'm just telling you, this is Joseph Boutin Sr.'s opinion. What if Christ was the one that went and took off the bands, off their hands, and he got down and stooped down and took the bands off of their feet? It wouldn't surprise me. Because it's in the midst of the fire that our God comes in and shows us some things in our lives that need to change. Huh? Lovingly, though. And he starts to take the chains of bondage off of our hearts. Those closet areas that we've sealed off. And we put a sign that said, keep out. God comes in and takes off the boards off of that door. And he says, Joe, and he calls out your name. Let's go into that closet. And it may seem rough at times, but as the King of Kings walks in with you, you're not doing it alone. And he starts to heal those areas of your life and my life that need to be healed. He starts to help us in those areas that we need help in. And he communicates with us as he communicated with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My God. Look, and I know they danced in that place. They just called out to God, telling him, thank you, my God, my God. How many times has God moved in when it all hope was lost and a miracle came forth as you cried out unto your God saying, Father, I don't know what's going to happen, but Lord, I put my faith and my trust in you, and you're going to have to move somehow, some way. And he opens that door and he walks in by the Spirit of God. But let me tell you this, if Christ does not one thing more for us, because I tell you, Christians are moved by feelings for the most part. That doesn't mean it's correct. God says we're to live by faith in Christ. If God does nothing more for us, we should serve him with every part of our heart like we've known him since the beginning of time. But we like the feelings, though. We want to feel the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hey, look, nothing wrong with that. That's why God sent the Holy Spirit. He knows what we need. He knows what we go through. He knows what happens from day to day. But the power of God is there to help us to get through, to press in, not to give up. And look, they threw those guys in, and God came in and rescued them. And they opened them up and brought them out. And let me tell you, men in charge over certain areas because they stood up for their God. In the end, as we stand up for God, God will honor those things that we stand up for, and he will help us to be in charge of whatever he wants. That's the kind of God. He will reward us. Not that we stand up for rewards, but you know what? He will reward his children as we stand up for him and not let go of what he wants to do and not let go of the promises of God that God has promised us through his word, people. Look, you can rest assured. It's yes or yes and amen. Every promise in the book is mine. You know that old song? Every promise in the book is mine. Everyone is yours. You can claim it. You can thank God for it. Now, you might say, well, I tried it and it didn't work. Well, then maybe it wasn't the right time. But I know this. It's not God's fault. Most of the time, it's ours. So, you see, we stand upon the scripture and we ask God for certain things, whatever, from our families to friends to whatever, salvations, the power of God. But let me tell you something. As we celebrate tomorrow, the Memorial Day, as we remember our soldiers and we remember the disciples and what they did and many, many men, we have one far greater than all the soldiers that have died for us, which I'm thankful for. We have one that is far greater, people, than the disciples that have died in whatever happened in their lives. We have one far greater than many, many people today that are standing up for the truth of the gospel that may have died that we don't know of. We serve one that has died but rose again. His name is Jesus Christ. Far greater than anything that we can remember about the physical soldiers that have died or the men of the gospel. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He was mocked by people. He was slaughtered almost by the Pharisees and Sadducees and these religious people. But yet he was drawn to the cross by his love for humanity. I don't know for sure. I can't say for sure. Definitely not. But every time they whipped his back, he thought of humanity. Every time they pulled his beard, they thought he thought of us. Every time they stretched out his hand and they put a nail through his hand and a nail through his feet, every time they hit it, that nail, he thought of Joseph. You can put your name. He thought of you. He thought of obedience to the Father. And he stayed, because it says he could have called 10,000s of angels, my God, and destroyed every one of them, these people there. He could have walked off or got off that cross if he wanted to. But he laid there as a lamb to the slaughter as we celebrate our Savior, what he did, the sacrifice he made upon the cross of Calvary. Then as he finished, it says that he was on the cross at 9. Darkness came at 12, at 3 o'clock. You know, everything was finished, basically. It says that when he died, when he was on the cross at 9 for the morning sacrifice, and at 3 o'clock when he died for the evening sacrifice, that's God timing it, the perfect sacrifice. It says that the curtain in the synagogue or the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, letting out the Spirit of the living God to come out upon the earth. And Jesus, as time went on, he says, come, all you that are heavy laden and burdened. And what did he say? I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. That's the kind of God we serve, people. We need to remember, he's the greatest. They can name all the soldiers in the world. And let me tell you, I will not downplay any of it because it's a sacrifice. You see a mother or a father giving of their son or their daughter. And I know we've all seen the interviews, and it's hard. They know they did a great thing, but it's hard because they've died in the line of duty. And that's hurtful because thank you, Lord. Thank you. But yet we have a Savior that came and died in the line of duty. But he did something that no other could do. He rose from the grave. He brought victory back to us. He broke the chains of bondage of sin upon our lives forever, that we could have victory, 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 victory in our minds, victory in our hearts, victory in our families, victory of all kinds, that we don't have to be heavy laden, that we don't have to have the burden of sin upon our lives, that God could change and break the chains of bondages of all kinds, as the Son of Man did to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, taking the straps off. That's the kind of God we serve, that we can serve him. We can glorify in him. We can praise him. We can honor him because of who he is. In nothing that we have done, but all that he has done for us, laying his life down and being raised from the dead. My God, what a God we serve, people. My God, what a God we serve. Don't walk around as a limp Christian spiritually. Walk around as a victorious Christian. You might say, oh, but Pastor, there are some areas in my life that I'm not victorious. That's okay. You don't look to yourself. You look to Christ. You put your faith in him. And let me tell you, he calls you victorious. He calls you victor. He calls you that you are an overcomer. As we put our faith in him, he causes us to move upon those areas of our lives. And he changes us and makes us into what we need to be. Let me tell you, you fall tomorrow, you get up. You get up. Get up. Get up. It might be hard, but you get up. You get up, you serve him, you ask him to forgive you, and you go on. And let me also address something else. When you got saved, you saved. Just because you mess up doesn't mean you're not saved. Okay? when you saved and you accepted him as Savior. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, can you lose your salvation? Yes, you can. You can. If you turn your face from God and you tell him you don't want him, there's nothing he can do. Now, he can do whatever he wants, but he will not overstep the will of a person or a man or a woman. I think it's very hard to lose our salvation. I do. Because I know every one of you loves God. And yes, something may happen. You might say some of the stupidest things in all the world. And after it comes out of that mouth, it's like you wish you could just grab it back, huh? But we can't. And so we go to the Father and we ask him to forgive us. And we make things right in all areas of our lives. You see, we were saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. It's a continuous process of God working in our lives continuously. Let me tell you, nothing can wash away the blood of Jesus. Nothing can wash away our sins except the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. So we can be assured in Christ. We can stand firm in him. That our salvation is in him. And that he's moving in our lives. And because of what Jesus did for us. Amen. You may stand, please. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Jesus, Jesus. As every head is bowed, please, for just a minute. No one looking around, because this is a personal thing with you and Christ. I want to ask you a very important question. Do you know Christ? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Does he live in your heart? If you have never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you'd like to do so, would you please raise your hand so we can see?